Hey, Trailblazers. There's always been one stop between Houston and the Guadalupe Mountains that has mattered to me the most, and that's my stop at Mom's Kitchen Express in Van Horn, Texas. Over the years, I've told our hiking community about this little gym out in West Texas and to swing by when they're heading to the Guads for a wonderful meal. For me, it was always a joy to stop by and hear Mr. Espinosa saying, "Another one of your hikers stopped by for a meal." They had to close the restaurant down for a couple of years due to family needs, but there's some exciting news. Mom's Kitchen Express is open once again. Same wonderful recipes, and it still feels like home. And it still carries the legacy of the man who loved this land as much as we do. So if you're heading out to the Guadalupe Mountains or just passing through Van Horn, make sure you stop by for a meal and to tell them hi from the Trailblazing Texas podcast community. Mr. Espinosa, you were missed. Now on with the episode. Welcome to the Trailblazing Texas podcast, where we embark on a journey through our diverse Texas landscapes and breathtaking trails while always engaging with our amazing Texas hiking community. So settle in, tighten up those bootlaces, and get ready for the thrilling tales awaiting for you on this episode. Welcome to the Trailblazing Texas podcast. I'm your host, Jason, and today I'm excited about our next guest. We have a duo. We have administrative assistant Katie and interpretive ranger Andrew coming to us all the way from Inks Lakes. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
All right. Second most important question of the podcast. How is the heat currently at the park and the mosquito pressure?
The heat, it comes in waves. It's always up and down. I think right now it's still fairly hot.
It's warm for late October. It was 55 this morning, but it's probably going to break 90 by 2, 3 o'clock this afternoon. So heaters in the morning, AC in the afternoon.
Okay, so typical Texas fall.
You got it.
Classic.
What about mosquitoes?
They're not too bad. Maybe at nighttime when the humidity goes up, but...
not too bad.
Yeah. What about horse flies?
I don't really have much of a problem with horse flies. If you go down to kind of the muddy shore, they kind of like that area a little bit more. But if you're on our typical trails or if you're, you know, maybe fishing from a pier, I don't think you're going to have much of an issue there.
Nice. Those suckers are the reasons why I don't hike in the summer. Just I don't care what time it is in the Sam Houston National Forest. They're all over the place.
They can hurt.
Yes, they do. And they draw blood and they bite through clothes and they're horrible. All right. So I don't know if you've listened to any of the podcasts. We have a surprise part of the podcast. I call it the lightning round. Listeners love it. These are questions that you have not seen. And I promise that they're not hard. Also, don't worry if it's not very lightning-y, if that's even a word. Through the magic of edit, we're going to be flying through this section. Kind of like as it would seem, just quick answers, first words that pop into your head. So are y'all ready?
Ready.
Ready as we can.
Katie, favorite trail snack?
Trail snack? I kind of like more sweet snacks. I'm not really a traditional trail mix person, so I would probably try to bring anything that won't melt. I don't know if Skittles would melt, but they might.
Skittles are probably safe.
All right, Andrew, same question.
I like beef jerky.
Ooh.
I had an episode, the last two episodes with state parks. That was our snack that we hated the most on trail. And, you know, I love beef jerky. The issue is I don't want it on trail. So that's awesome. All right, Katie, favorite activity in the park?
Ooh, I personally love paddleboarding. That's my personal passion.
All right, Andrew.
I like hiking.
All right, Andrew, sunrise on the water or sunset on the trail?
Sunrise on the water.
Katie, if you had to pick one, campfire s'mores or breakfast tacos?
Breakfast tacos. That sounds so good.
Andrew, best activity, searching for spring flowers, summer swimming, or fall camping?
Ooh, that's a tough question. Oh, it's been a while since I've seen some good spring flowers. I'm ready for those again. So I'm going to say searching for the flowers. I'm ready for April and May.
All right, Katie, most underrated activity at Inks Lake?
Oh, I don't know. I have to think about that one for a second.
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's very good.
All right, Andrew, do you got it while she's thinking?
So I'm going to say the trails on our other side of the park is what I call it. The side of the park where we have our Devil's Waterhole in the actual lake is where most people go. But some of our other trails, like the Woodland Trail, it doesn't get the love that it probably should. So I'm going to call that one underrated by a lot of folks.
You inspired me. Yes. So I was thinking about the trails that Andrew mentioned. Our park store manager, she made like a scavenger hunt bingo that you can do. And that's really cool because it's low impact and you can find those things throughout the park. There's levels, so you don't have to go on the way back trails. You can do them in the park. I think that's a really lesser known thing that we have.
All right, cool. Andrew, favorite trail in the park?
Lake Trail.
Katie, what about you?
I think we call it the Bluebonnet Trail now. I really like that one. It connects the Woodlands and the Pecan Flats. I've seen the most birds there. I think it's so pretty, and that's my favorite. It's a little bit out there, but it's worth it.
So is bird watching really big in the park?
It is seasonally. We do have a really, really nice, we call our wildlife viewing station, and we have some pretty good stuff showing up right now, pretty good stuff showing up in the spring. And then some of our best birding, though, is actually from the back porch of the park store when the waterfowl show up. So we do get seasonally a lot of birding here.
So as we were talking before the podcast, you know, I just moved. You were the third recording in the new podcast studio. I have about an acre behind the house that's wooded. I bought one of those fancy bird feeders that have the camera. Mm-hmm. Installed it, put it up about 2 weeks ago. Not one bird yet. I'm disappointed.
Give it some time.
Oh, no.
Give it some time. Build it and they will come.
Yeah. I'm going to build a little water feature and see if that doesn't attract them. But yeah, so I'm the butt of jokes for my family and kids.
Oh, man. Well, I think they say having a water source is the best attractant. So that'll bring in dividends.
I even got on the little microphone to the camera and was like, here, birdie, 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 and nothing. So
that may be part of the problem.
You know what? It could be, now that I think about it. All right, Andrew, funniest thing you've overheard a visitor say?
Wondering if they could buy food to feed the wildlife in the park.
Oh, yeah. Katie, what about you?
Funniest thing I've overheard. It's usually like in the booth, they won't know that we have the window open. They're just talking about something silly. I think that's kind of funny.
All right, Andrew, what's tougher, the Texas heat or the crowds?
The crowds, probably. I don't mind the heat a whole lot, but when I have, say, a big crowd on a guided hike, I just worry if everybody's able to hear me or if I'm just giving everybody that awesome experience I want to.
Nice. Katie, if this was your last day at the park and there was a big message board, and you could leave a message to future park rangers, what would it be?
Oh, wow. I think it would be, and not in so many words, something about pursuing what you love, but being open to a different path than you expected.
Nice. Love it. Andrew, same question.
Try to see something new every day. There's so much of the park that isn't visited nearly as often by staff as it should be, just because we're so busy. So try to see something new in the park every day.
Andrew, this one's yours. Coolest animal you've ever spotted in the park?
It's a good question. I've seen a lot of cool ones. I'm going to go with the ringtail. Ringtails are pretty cool, and we rarely get to see them. They're here, but they don't like making themselves known very often.
Katie, what about you?
Mine is pretty cool, I think. I've seen both a golden cheek warbler and a black cat vireo, which really cool. Got big birds on my bird list, life list.
I was about to say to the listeners, and I learned this from I don't remember what state park, but yeah, that those are birds. Because at first I was like, what?
They're birds, yes.
All right, Andrew, I think this is a, I like this question. So, and I think it's very informative to get y'all's answers from, you know, the state parks. What is the most important thing first timers that come to the park should know before arriving?
That we have a lot to do here and you're not going to be able to see the entire park in one day. If you come here for a one-day visit, you can certainly do some cool stuff, but your adventures at Inks Lake are not going to be done after one day or even one weekend.
Katie, what about you?
I would say the same thing and also suggest try to do at least a little bit of research ahead of time so that you know what we have, so that you can find what you really want to do out of all the things we have. And we have our events up all the time. So there's always things to do. You're always going to have a good time when you come here. Something Andrew and I were talking about the other day is Inks Lake is really a good all year park for all sorts of activities. So there's always something to do.
Nice, nice, nice. All right, Katie, what is more dangerous? Raccoons near a campsite or toddlers with a marshmallow stick?
Ooh. You know, I would say the third lesser known option is the skunks in the park, because we've had a couple guests say they were like trapped inside their cabin because the skunks were eating their food.
Yep. You know, my heaven on earth is Guadalupe Mountain National Park. I've hiked, backpacked the whole thing, been there 20 something times. And when you stay at Pine Springs, and I try to alert everybody, your Sammy the skunk is going to come visit you. Uh-huh. He's going to open your backpack. He's going to try to open your tent, and he's not going to spray you. He's not going to, you know, like I've walked out of a tent at 3 a.m. to start cooking breakfast for a hike, and he's just sitting right there by my foot. But yeah, he is going to come, and you can hear throughout the night people yelling and and you know, he just makes his way through all the campsites, and that's just part of it.
Yeah, Inks Lake is definitely not unique in the friendly skunks. And it's a good reminder to always, of course, secure your food. Don't leave anything out, because those guys, along with the raccoons and even some foxes, are going to look for that free leftover s'more if they can find it.
Oh, absolutely. Andrew, what is one moment that reminded you why you love working at the park?
Yep, that's an easy question. So what sticks in my head is when I helped some kids catch their first fish. And the look of just pure joy on their face is something that reminded me why I do what I do.
I love it. And you know, Nikki she's at Lake Brownwood. I couldn't remember the state park. And it's also with all the rangers. Everybody has answered that question, the moment of somebody's first, you know, and I think also with her, it was someone that worked with Texas Parks and Wildlife, was an intern, and the first time that they witnessed all the stars. What I've gathered so far with all the state parks that are coming on and stuff is the love you all have for stewardship, for education, and for giving people experiences that they may not have ever had without visiting the park. And it's as a host, to be able to see your faces, talk about these special moments, it's definitely pretty cool. So this is for both of y'all. It's a yes or no question, because I definitely don't want to get anybody in trouble. Have you ever answered a visitor's question and it made you pause and think, did they really just ask me that?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yes.
Katie, what part of the park do you hope never changes?
That is such a great question. I hope that, trying to find the words for it, but I hope that like we've already been talking about, the passion and the love and the team style we have never changes, and the guests, that they always see us as a safe and friendly place to go to. That's my answer.
All right, Angie, what about you?
I really like the way our trails are laid out. We have enough space between them. They're of the right distance. Our trail network is really well done. It's really inviting to any level of hiker. Always want our trails to be that way, available for anyone but also just maintaining that pure, rugged, natural beauty.
All right, who wants to answer the hardest lightning round question first?
Oh, no.
Katie, you raised your hand. All right, so are you ready for this one? If Inks Lake State Park had a theme song, what would it be?
I think it would be, I don't know why, but the first thing that pops in my head is Black Betty.
All right.
We're always going.
Yeah, Andrew, you don't get to escape that question. What do you think it would be?
How about Tickets to Paradise?
Oh, wow. Like it. So let's see. I think we're already at the last question. I was having fun. Last question, most important question of the podcast. This question trumps the mosquito temperature horsefly question and update. This really will give us a direction and duration of how long and where we're going to go with this podcast. So this is going to be for both of you. Mm-hmm. And Andrew, you can answer first.
Okay.
What is your favorite of all times Texas hiking podcast that you've been a guest on?
I'm going to say Trailblazing Texas.
Right there. You heard it here first. Katie, what about you?
It's the same answer. Trailblazing Texas.
I love it. And as a host, it warms my heart and probably, probably because you're on the spot or maybe because I could be the only Texas hiking podcast, but it doesn't matter. We won't get into that. We, batting 1,000.
Woohoo!
So as we kind of progress through the episode, for me, one of the most important parts of this is really to get to know you both. And as we talked about before, these episodes that I do with the state parks, yes, I want to sell the state park. I want people to visit the state park. I want people to learn, make a reservation. But I also, you guys give the experience to the state parks. And for me, it means a lot that we get to know a little bit about each of you. So, Andrew, you can have this first. Well, both of you will answer all these first part questions. But this one's for you, Andrew, is how long have you worked with Texas Parks and Wildlife?
I've been with Parks and Wildlife for 16 months now.
Katie, what about you?
Four and a half years. 5 years this next April.
Oh, wow. All right. So, Andrew, how long have you been at Inks Lake?
That whole time. This is the only park I've worked with.
All right. Katie?
Almost the whole time, except subtracting 6 months when I was with our wildlife department on a seasonal position with them.
Okay. Andrew, what is your current role at the park? And this is my favorite question. What does a typical day look like for you?
Yeah, I'm the interpretive ranger here, and there is no such thing as a typical day for an interpreter. My primary responsibilities are to organize and host educational programs like guided hikes, fishing with a ranger, birding programs, things like that. But I also engage in community outreach, go to school visits, community fairs, things like that. I'm going to a big outdoor expo coming up pretty soon. But my day can consist of literally anything and everything the park needs done, from helping the headquarters staff open up here and get things running, to helping our maintenance folks if they need some help with anything, to going down and running boats at the park store. Really just anything that needs to be done and I've got time to do it, I'm happy to step up and do that. And from a day to day, we really don't know exactly what's going to be asked of us, and we're all happy to do whatever needs to be done.
Katie, you are our first administrative assistant, so this is going to be very interesting. So what does your role mean at the park, and what does a typical day look like for you?
So my role is also still atypical. I've met many administrative assistants, and we all kind of are delegated different things. So mainly I assist the headquarters, managing the clerks, doing check-ins, all sorts of administrative duties. But part of my job is also managing our volunteer program, along with Andrew, with some of our other types of volunteers. And so I could be doing anything from being on the counter and checking in our guests to collaborating with our volunteers and different team leads for projects. We use volunteers in everything we do. And so that's a huge part of my role.
Nice. Andrew, what inspired you to get into park work?
Yeah, so I've always loved teaching and I've always loved being outside. Like you, I do have a fondness for some of our national parks, including Guadalupe Mountains National Park, but I've always visited Texas state parks. And when the opportunity came up to enter into the park system, I knew that I was not going to pass it up. I just always like being outside and I like sharing that with other people. So the interpreter role is just perfect for me.
All right. Just be careful. If you bring up the quads, I will talk for hours and we may get derailed.
I've been to the top of Guadalupe Peak 5 times and hiked just about every trail in that park. So I'm right there with you.
Nice. So have you done the quad?
The 3 highest or the 4 highest?
Yeah.
No, so I know what it is, but no, I have not. I have not. I haven't even hit every trail in the quads, just about all of them, but not every single one.
What about the B-24 plane crash?
So I've heard about it, but no, I have not been there.
Oh, Andrew.
Well, you're going to have to take me out there.
Hey, just tell me. Just say, let's go. We're there.
We'll do it.
All right. Katie, what about you? What got you into park work?
So I didn't expect to end up here. I grew up my whole life thinking, you know, I was going to go a different career path in veterinary medicine, went to college for it, did all that. And I just wasn't fulfilled with that work. And so I had to pivot. I didn't really know what I would do. And so I just happened to find myself in a seasonal position with Inkslake specifically, and just fell in love with being outdoors again. I grew up watching like Animal Planet and Steve Irwin, and I just wanted to find a way to get back outdoors and support especially Texas and its natural resources. So I just unexpectedly found my way here.
Nice. Andrew, we may have already kind of touched on this, but what is your favorite memory or funniest moment there at the park?
So here at the park? Oh, that's a good question. So I really like doing kayak tours. When I think of good moments, kayak tours are always something that pop up in my head. Yeah, teaching people how to kayak can sometimes be entertaining, but I always enjoy doing that.
Watching them get in the boat?
Yeah, or, you know, not wanting to get their feet wet, getting in and out. And I tell them, like, no, we are at least going to get our ankles wet getting in and out of the water. It's just part of kayaking.
So, Katie, what is something about your job that people might find surprising?
I think something that people would find surprising about my job is that state parks are extremely supported by volunteers. I think it's in the couple millions of volunteer hours that we record every year. Our park specifically, it's almost like half of the staff is volunteers. So we have anywhere from park hosts who actually stay in the park with us full time. In exchange for volunteering, they can stay in the park. We have day-to-day volunteers. We have a Friends of Inkslake volunteer group. And a lot of times people will come visit and they'll be like, I didn't know I could park host. And so we can tell them about how you can actually stay here and support us. There's lots of avenues for being involved with state parks.
They're an outdoorsy person and they like being active, then park hosting is a great opportunity. And I couldn't do my job without some of those park hosts and, of course, our friends group volunteers as well. But without those folks, neither one of us would be successful in our role.
Yeah, and that's definitely something that I want to get into towards the end of, is how we can get connected, whether it's financially, whether it's just volunteering, but to support the park for sure. So I'm 52 now. When I turned 50, my wife asked me what I wanted to do for my 50th birthday. And I'm like, well, it's funny you asked, but I have this week off. She had a week off. She's a school teacher. And I'm like, I think in this week we can get 18 state parks done in about 7 or 8 days. And so that was during that trip was my first experience to Inkslake. I researched, okay, it's on the way of how I wanted to go. And this was one of the state parks. When we got out of the car, I was like, you've got to be kidding. This is Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And it is absolutely spectacular. I don't remember the trail. I think I walked into the visitor center and said, I'm here for a couple of hours. What is the most bang for your buck hike? I don't care how long it is or how much elevation gain or loss or whatever, just give it to me. And they gave me a recommendation, and that's what we went and did. And it was absolutely, I don't know how many times we just looked at each other and said, look at the rock. Look at these little cliffs heading into the water. This is absolutely, we were definitely going to be back.
Yep. It's rugged beauty, rugged beauty.
Absolutely. So this question is up for either one of you, and or maybe both of you would want to answer this. But for those who've never been, how would you describe Ink Lakes State Park?
It is definitely unique. There are some similarities to, say, other parks, like Enchanted Rock is, you know, something people think of when they come out here. We are on that Llano uplift, that very center of Texas, that really, really old geological feature that you may be aware of. But we are different. We have billion plus year old rock known as gneiss rock, some pretty interesting stuff. And our landscape is just as you were just saying, it's very rugged. It doesn't even look like what people generally think of most of Texas. It's a really, really cool thing. You just have to kind of see. If you've spent your whole life in Texas, say in East Texas or South Texas, you may not even recognize where we are as a part of Texas.
It was about 9 years ago when I kind of discovered this love of hiking, and it was on a trip to dodge a blizzard. I saw the sign, Guadalupe Mountain National Park, and I laughed. I'm like, there's no mountains in Texas. You know, we're heading down I-10. I started researching it because my wife was driving, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. There's mountains in Texas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think, you know, to the listeners, if you're not out exploring these areas, you're missing out, because there are so many locations in Texas that you would literally have to remind yourself that, yeah, this is Texas.
That's right. That's right. Even if you live in Texas, you can still vacation in Texas.
Yes. And you could drive 12 hours and still be in Texas.
Right.
Going 85 miles an hour. So, Katie, what's the story behind Ink's Lake?
That's a great question. So Ink's Lake was created in namesake of Roy B. Inks, who, correct me if I'm wrong, he was on the board of directors for the dams that created the lake, as well as the other Highland Lake systems. And so he was also extremely influential in the towns around us. I think he created the first ambulance in Llano out of the back of like a pickup truck. And so in honor of him, they named the lake after it. It's not Ink or anything like that. Did you have anything to add about?
No, that was just Roy B. Inks did a lot of really cool stuff. He helped form the Lower Colorado River Authority, the LCRA, that created the dams and then our six Highland lakes, including Ink's Lake. And he certainly didn't do it alone. Folks like Lyndon Baines Johnson were a part of that effort, and Lake LBJ is named after him. But he did a lot of great things. He was the mayor of Llano. In fact, the bridge that goes over the Llano River in Llano is known as the Roy Inks Bridge as well. So that's where
we
get our name. He's our namesake for the lake.
Oh, nice. So I was doing some research, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ink's Lake is known as a constant level lake.
That's right.
What does that mean?
Yeah, it means that the water level basically stays the same. Now, currently, we are in the middle of a scheduled drawdown where the LCRA did lower the lake levels for some routine maintenance and inspections and things like that. But aside from that scheduled drawdown, it does stay at the same level all the time. We're the second Highland Lake. Lake Buchanan is just north of us. It is not a constant level lake, so we get water out of Buchanan when needed to keep Ink's Lake at that constant level all the time. And we're the second smallest of the Highland Lakes, only 830 acres, whereas Lake Buchanan's 22,000 acres. So when we need a little bit of water, it doesn't affect them much to give us a little bit and keep us constant level.
Nice. Can you share any information or park history about the CCC and what impact they've had to the park?
Yeah. So we are considered a CCC park. It's an interesting story, though. You may know that Longhorn Cavern State Park is right up the road. If you just continue up Park Road 4, you'll get to Longhorn Cavern. The CCC started the work there in the 1930s. They excavated the debris out of the cave, and they used it to actually build the Park Road 4 that we depend on today. The original roadbed was that debris out of the cavern, which is pretty cool. And that's actually why Park Road 4 is on the National Register of Historic Places, because of the work that was done there by those CCC workers. So they built Longhorn Cavern. The buildings there, the structures there were built by them. And then they started working here at Ink's Lake. but they weren't able to achieve a whole lot, and that's because of World War II. They started work here. They built the original roads and the road culverts, and then, as you all know, Pearl Harbor occurred in 1941, end of 1941, December 7th, and then it was shortly after that, early 1942, that the CCC work stopped. Those workers, of course, went over to join the war effort, and then the park wasn't finished until 1950. Making this year our 75th anniversary, or our semi-sesquicentennial, as we've been calling it.
Oh, nice.
An interesting history. It was started by CCC, but not finished by the CCC.
So I like this question. So in your opinion, what, and this is for either one, in your opinion, what makes Ink Lake unique compared to other hill country parks?
You want to answer that one?
I think we both have an answer. Yeah, so, I think what makes us really unique is like the nice rock we were talking about. But the terrain itself is so vast in diversity. So you have like the exposed granite gneiss on the south side and north side all over. But then as you get closer into the park, we have these beautiful riparian zones that you can fish from. You can see incredible like wetland birds. You can get huge catfish to all sorts of bass in the lake. So there's a huge variety of things you can see, as well as there's stuff to do all the time. So we're constant level. So you can always have really great water sports, kayaking, canoeing. We're smaller. And so there's a lot of time, a lot less, it's a more family oriented traffic that we'll get here on the lake. There's hiking, you know, you have to be careful in the summer because of the heat, but it's really accessible all the time.
Yeah, there's always something to do here. We have, as you mentioned, that constant level lake. So when we have the heat of the summer and it's August and 110 degrees, you can go jump in the water hole and enjoy that nice cool water. Whereas, as comparison, you know, I'm not going to be out on the top of Enchanted Rock in August. I'm just not going to get up there. It's pretty warm. But we've got our nice cool lake all summer. And then in the fall, when we start getting our really good migratory birds showing up, we've got trails to see those. And when it's cold, we can be out on our primitive side hiking the woodland trail. So there's literally something to do here every single day of the year. And you can comfortably do something here every day of the year. And plus, we have amenities. We have an awesome park store. We have a really, really good boat ramp to get into that constant level lake. We have, as we mentioned, really awesome trails, but we have about 230 campsites. So a very, very large campground.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We have 20 cabins that we rent out. So there's lots of ways that we serve the public here and help get them outside.
Additionally, Ink Lake is really focused on adding a lot more accessibility into the park too. So we've done things like virtual trails, drone hikes. We've made efforts to make the bird line more accessible. We have Freedom Grit chairs and kayak equipment that is able for those who need support when they're on the water. So we're really trying to make strides towards making this park accessible to all the time.
You know, and that's funny. Not funny that you say that, but it's interesting that you say that. And that's one thing that it started with Aaron at Purtis Creek, the passion. And I started kind of asking the questions after that state park, but the passion that you guys for accessibility and making sure that there's not one person alive that's not able to get and maximize the experience at the state parks. And, you know, I think for the listeners, and just because I've been looking at the comments and stuff, not shocking that Texas Parks and Wildlife and the state parks have such a passion for that, but it's not just talk. I mean, they're putting, you know, putting the boots down and making sure that a lot of these things come to fruition. And that's awesome. Awesome. That's right. Awesome. Awesome.
Parks are for everyone. And that means everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, Katie, you may have touched on this a second ago, but just, Andrew, if you have something different, what kind of visitors do you typically see at the park?
Yeah, so we're very popular with all sorts of visitors for sure, but families love coming here to enjoy the lake and the trails. We have a lot of what I refer to as our winter Texans or snowbirds that come down from up north, Michigan, Minnesota, things like that. And they love staying here and enjoying our constant level lake in the winter. So we're going to start, you know, enjoying those folks coming in. We do have a lot of school groups because even though we are definitely remote, it feels very, very isolated out here. We're not too far away from several decent sized towns. Burnett's right up the road. Llano's right down the road. Marble Falls is not too far. So we have school groups come here. And I love having our homeschool groups come into the park for classes. I really enjoy hosting those. So anything from the solo hiker to the novice backpacker to the school groups, literally anyone and everyone can find something to do here at Inks Lake. It's one of the special things about this park.
So Katie, maybe this next question is because of your length at the park, but certainly Andrew, jump in. How have y'all seen the park evolve over the years? And maybe over the years, Katie, you'd have, you know, kind of an answer to that, but also then Andrew, maybe you can throw in the future plans for the park.
Sure. I know whenever I started as a bright-eyed bushy-tail seasonal, they promised that we were going to get a new headquarters for a couple years. And so we're like, okay, eventually we're going to get a new headquarters. And it was this tiny little building and we're all crammed in there. And then finally people showed up one day and started doing stuff. And so now we're actually in this new building. And so that's allowed us to have, I guess, just more room in our heads to think and do stuff. We have a whole new entrance. So really, it only changed the entrance a little bit and like a new parking situation. But along with that, over the years, I've seen like as our accessibility mission is in tow, we've had just a lot more types of people come out. We've always had a variety of people like from all over the world that have come out, but now we're seeing more Texans. I think after COVID, there was a huge push to get outdoors. And I think we just started getting so many more visitors after that, and it's not slowed down. So it's really beautiful to see more people outside. And I do know that there are future plans to still expand the park and add more trails. I think Andrew has some good points on that as well.
Yeah, so recent history of Inks Lake has been a history of improvements that have occurred in the park, whether they be improved trails that are easier to navigate or better bathrooms, because you know this, if there's one thing that separates a good park experience from a great park experience is a clean bathroom. And some of our bathrooms are just really, really good, relatively new and updated. So that was a big improvement. Our park store is, as I mentioned, amazing with the boat rentals that occur there, the amount of different type of inventory that you can find in there to make your trip just more comfortable. Because if you forgot something small, you know, if you forgot a spatula for your cookout, they got you covered at the park store. So we're going to be making some improvements to our park store, new shelving, for example. We have started to update and modernize our fleet of paddle boats, and you can find some animal-themed paddle boats, which the families, the kiddos love those for sure. We have really good fishing piers, and we have great equipment for programs like new fishing poles for fishing with a ranger programs and things like that. We have really good archery equipment that we've added over the past couple of years, and that allows us to do a whole, you know, range of programs. We also do continuous training to make sure our staff is ready to provide the best experience we can for all Texans and all visitors, no matter where you're from. And we're going to be adding new trails. We used to have a golf course here at Inks Lake. That golf course was run by a concessionaire and it closed down several years ago, but that area is going to be made into an expanded day use area, several trails and some other facilities for folks to enjoy. So we definitely are a popular park, as most of your listeners probably know. And the one thing that we need more of is just more space, because the more space we have, the more guests we can serve and the better we can serve them. So we are moving that way. We are making it better all the time for the visitors. And that's the constant goal. That's part of our mission, to provide those opportunities for, you know, future and present generations, of course.
I'm not sure if it was a fairly recent kind of kickoff with Texas Parks and Wildlife to make sure all these state parks have a nice headquarters or visitor center, but there's been two state parks. South Llano Rivers was the first one that comes to mind because I was kind of embarrassed. So I went there, hiked, you know, and then, I don't know, a year or two, three, 4 years later, went back. And I showed up at that little bitty house that I checked in last time. And they're like, whoa, whoa, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm checking in. They're like, no, there's a, did you drive past that really nice building? That's the new headquarters. But yeah, so.
It's a very nice one for sure. And we are definitely fortunate here. As Katie was mentioning, we have a very nice headquarters, and you know, our facilities, including our headquarters, have to grow as we grow to better serve our guests.
Yeah, nice. All right, Katie, Andrew, both of this question's for both of you. What are some of the most popular trails in your opinion in the park?
That's a great question. I think the most popular trails for sure are the Pecan Flats Trail, as well as the Devil's Waterhole Trail. It's our smallest, but it gets you to the Devil's Waterhole, which is a huge feature of our park. And from there, you can take the Valley Spring Trail, which is a small loop, or you can go hit the Devil's Backbone, which is another extremely popular trail. Every single one of those trails offers a different experience. What's really cool about our trails is a lot of them connect to different loops. So you can go longer, you can, you know, double back and take a shorter trail. So there's lots of options.
Yeah, for sure. In the summer, it's definitely the trail down to the Devil's Waterhole, because people are taking that hike to go then jump into the water and enjoy that constant level lake. In the fall, a lot of folks like going on the lake trail, because that's where we see the best fall color change. Our foliage change down there is decent. Now, we're not getting anything like McKittrick Canyon in the Quads or anything. I wish we did. But for this part of Texas, we get decent color change on our lake trail. So it's a popular one right now. And in the spring, our Bluebonnet Trail is obviously a good one to find those wildflowers, those bluebonnets.
So it's funny that, Katie, you brought up Pecan Flats Trail. What makes that so special? Because in my research, that's the one that a lot of people talk about.
Pecan Flats Trail, unlike its namesake, is actually the trail that we have the most elevation gain. I believe it's around 300 foot elevation gain. And we have a marker on the map. It's marker 8, because that's the highest spot in the park where you can see all around you and you can see the whole park. It's incredible for sunsets and it's just absolutely gorgeous. And it's about 2 miles, so it's really available for anybody. It has great bluebonnets, not as great bluebonnets as the Bluebonnet Trail, of course, but it's just enough. It's perfect. It's a loop.
Another great thing about that trail is that the first part of it that takes you through the campground, it's very flat, well-maintained. Trail runners like that one. People take strollers on that part of the trail because there is a day-use parking area on Park Road 4 that can get you straight onto that first section. And a great little feature of that section of the trail is there is a composting toilet there. So having that little creature comfort makes that trail extra special.
Yes, thank you.
Especially if you have kiddos going, having that restroom for the kiddos is super nice.
I don't remember what trail we did. And when you said elevation gain, it may be that it was Pecan Flats that we did. And I'm not going to admit it or say it out loud, but I think I got lost on that trail and we had to backtrack. But we made it. It was a lot of fun. So, Andrew, this question's for you. Being that you're a hiker, what are some hidden, lesser known spots that hikers should check out that, you know, I don't know if it's just because of the scenery or maybe it's just not talked about a lot or maybe kind of just to get away from the crowds, but what is that spot?
Sure. Well, I can't give you all my secrets until you take me to the plane crash in the Quads. I'll have to hold something back, but I will say something. Oh, there you go.
Hello.
I got you. Well, now I have to tell you everything. So one of the secret spots that I do tell folks is to get down to the water's edge off of Lake Trail. Lake Trail, as the name indicates, gives you a view of the lake. But if you just take a tiny, easy little right-hand turn, you can get down to some awesome water access points. On a July 4th weekend, there could literally be 100 people at our day-use area, 150 people at the Devil's Waterhole swimming. But if you take a 20-minute hike down Lake Trail and then a 5-minute detour, you can get to a stretch of shoreline where it's just you. Just you and the sky above you. And it's a great little kind of semi-secret thing about the park.
Nice. Real quickly, Andrew, not to detour, but have you ever been to Jose's Grave in the Quads?
I have not, but I've heard you talk about it on some other podcasts, and I definitely am interested. I definitely love those kind of off-trail, extra special things to see in places like the Quads.
All right. I got it. So, Katie, for you, what is the best season for hiking in the park?
I think our best season for hiking is really starting right now. We start getting these just stunning sunsets in the fall. It's great to see. You can take the Lower Anglers Trail and end at the South Pier, and it's just incredible seeing the sun go down there. You can see our dam, which is a spillway type dam. Get some fishing in while you're done. And along that Anglers Trail, you can see Stumpy Hollow, which I like paddleboarding in, because it's very cool seeing the old trees coming out of the water. It's almost, it could be, I guess, around this time of the year, a little eerie, but it's very cool. And I think just the way that the leaves start changing, I feel like you get to see more wildlife because it's cooler. I think now is the perfect time.
Yeah. For hitting the trails, this is the best time of year.
So, Andrew, are there any trails where visitors are almost guaranteed to see some wildlife? And that wraps up another exciting episode of the Trailblazing Texas podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode today, and stay tuned for our next episode where we will pick back up where we left off and guarantee to uncover many more hiking gems and share many more tips to enhance your experience on the trail. Until then, happy trails and happy hiking.